ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿಪತ ಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ರಾಧಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಿ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ 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 ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಜಯ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವಿಂದ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಸೊ ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ರೀಡ್ from canto 5 chapter 14 verse number 23 and 24 so this is in prose format and not in the poetry format so I will just read and just translate so we'll start with our prayers and then read this verse in translation om namo bhagavate vasudevaya ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ನಷ್ಟ ಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಣಿಕಿ कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः. सो द वर्स इज एज फॉलोज चैप्टर कैंटो फिफ्थ चैप्टर 14 वर्स नंबर 22. करी स्म चित काम मधुलावन विचिन्वन याद परदरा परद्रव यानी अवरुद्धानो राजना स्वामिभे वा निहता पतति अपारे निरया. सो सिनोनिम्स करही स्मचित समटाइम्स काम मधु लावन लिटिल ड्रॉप्स ऑफ हनी लाइक सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन विच इन वन सर्चिंग आफ्टर यदा वैन परदारा अनदर्स वाइफ और अ वुमन अदर देन हिज ओन वाइफ परद्रव्यानि अनदर्स मनी एंड पोजेशंस अवरुद्धान टेकिंग एज ओन प्रॉपर्टी राजन्य बाय द गवर्नमेंट स्वामी वा और बाय द हस्बैंड रिलेटिव्स ऑफ द वुमेन नियता सिविली बीटन पतति ही फॉल्स डाउन अपारे इनटू अनलिमिटेडली निराये हेलिश कंडीशंस ऑफ लाइफ द गवर्नमेंट्स प्रिजन फॉर क्रिमिनल एक्टिविटीज लाइक रेप किडनैपिंग और थेफ्ट और अदर्स प्रॉपर्टी. ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्तिनाथ शिला प्रभुपाद. द कंडीशन सोल इज समटाइम्स अट्रैक्टेड टू द लिटिल हैप्पीनेस डिराइव फ्रॉम सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन थस ही हैज एलिसिट sex or steals another's property, at such a time he may be arrested by the government or chastised by the woman's husband or protector. Thus, simply for a little material satisfaction, he falls into a hellish condition and is put into jail for rape, kidnapping, theft, and so forth. Purport. Material life is such that due to indulgence in illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating, the conditioned soul is always in dangerous condition. Meat eating and intoxication excite the senses more and more, and the conditioned soul falls victim to women. In order to keep a woman, money is required, and to acquire money, one begs, borrows, or steals. Indeed, he commits abominable acts that cause him to suffer both in this life and in the next. Consequently, illicit sex must be stopped by those who are spiritually inclined or who are on the path of spiritual realization. Many devotees fall down due to illicit sex. They may steal money and even fall down from the highly honored renounce order. Then for a livelihood, they accept menial services and become beggars. It is therefore said in the Shastras, Yen Maithunadi Grahamedi Dukkamitocham, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45. Materialism is based on sex, whether illicit or illicit. Sex is full of dangers even for those who are addicted to household life. Whether one has a license for sex or not, there is a great trouble. Bahu dukkhat bhaka. After one indulges in sex, many volumes of miseries ensue. One suffers more and more in material life. A miserly person cannot properly utilize the wealth he has, and similarly, a materialistic person misuses the human form. Instead of using it for spiritual emancipation, he uses the body for sense gratification. Therefore, he is called a miser. So, we will also read the translation and purport of verse number 24. Stealing or cheating another person out of his money. No, sorry, 23. Learned scholars and translators, therefore, condemns the materialistic part of fruitive activity because it is the original source and breeding ground of material miseries. Both in this life and in the next. Purport. Not knowing the value of life, karmis create situations whereby they suffer in this life and the next. Unfortunately, karmis are very attached to material sense gratification and they cannot appreciate the miserable condition of material life, neither in this life nor in the next. Therefore, the Vedas enjoin that one should awaken to spiritual consciousness and utilize all his activities to attain the favor of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord Himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Yat karoshi yat ashnasi, yat zivoshi dadashi yat, tat yat tapasyesi kaunteya, tat kurushva mad arpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you have, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. The results of all this one's activities should be utilized not for sense gratification, But for the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord gives all information in the Bhagavad Gita about the aim of life, and at the end of Bhagavad Gita, He demands surrender unto Him. People do not generally like this demand, but one who cultivates spiritual knowledge for many births eventually surrender unto the lotus feet of Lord. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanvan mam prabodhyante. Om Agyanti Nandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagaragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagalalita Shri Vishakavitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare So, today's topic is about relationships and about us using the human form of life effectively. So first of all, before starting the class, we'll base our what is the scenario first. We'll try to see and the background in which this verse has spoken, because in spiritual culture everything is based on the context. If there is no proper context, anybody can say anything, and that is not laudable. So based on the what is the context today, this verse has been spoken. So if this verse is taken out of context and spoken, then it will do great harm to so many people. And therefore, first of all, we will just base the content or the context in which this verse is spoken, and also the background of the spiritual education. So we'll just highlight this few things, and then we'll discuss on today's verse. So first of all, this conversation is between King Raghuna and Bharat Maharaj. So if you can understand, King Raghuna is a king who is married to so many wives. He is a kingly person. And Bharat Maharaj was also king in his previous life. So he knows the intricacies of the life of a king, which rather we may not know. And therefore, if we see such heavy verses are spoken, like if somebody is given heavy responsibilities, then he is given also so many rights. And inversely, if somebody is given so many rights, he has to perform so many responsibilities also. So in this verse, if we see, Raghuna is a king. He is responsible for the whole citizens' welfare of whole country in which he is ruling. And he also has so many wives and opulences. And so, to shaking up from his natural course of life, it requires a huge jerk, or so many things are to be spoken. And therefore, if we see in this verse, Jai Bharat Maharaj is speaking very harshly to Raghuna. And these verses have been spoken between two males. This is not between a female, so it's not told to female, but it's told to Maharaj Raghuna. So therefore, it should not be taken out of context. And if we see further, Urvashi also speaks the same language to Pururava, so as to detach him from material sense gratification. The only her purpose was that King Pururava may not get entangled in this, and therefore this verse is well spoken. And if we see, even Kashyapa speaks to Diti in the same way in Canto 6, Chapter 18. So here also there was a context in which it was spoken that Diti pleased Kashyapa very much by all her services, but her motive was to have a son who could kill Indra. And therefore, when Kashyapa knew the cause behind the service which Diti was doing, he was speaking these verses. So therefore, we should know, whenever such verses are being spoken, we should not take in out of context and understand the principles of it. Secondly, we should all understand that we are not material beings, we are spiritual souls. Right from the beginning, if we see Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, it is been told that we are spiritual souls, we are not this body. And because we are the spiritual souls, the soul cannot die, and the soul has so many qualities. It is Sachid Ananda, so it is always blissful and it is always in knowledge. So the presently which the verse spoke about the four vices and specifically about the illicit sex about the woman is just a temporary phase, because after sometimes we are soul, so actually this body will not be there, and therefore even somebody who is a woman or when will eventually get a spiritual emancipation. Another thing is that we are also influenced by the material modes of nature. So whatever is being done now is under a mode of either passion, ignorance or goodness. So this nature which is shown is because when the woman is the mode of passion or ignorance, then these problems occur. So similarly, if we see in Bhagavatam, another examples are also being written. Like if we see Canto 1st, Chapter 8, verse number 9, Uttara speaks to Krishna to save her from the calamity. So this is also very good verses. And then next we see the first prayers, the biggest prayers which comes first in the Bhagavatam are Kunti Maharani prayers. And these prayers are also being spoken by women, and these prayers are being lauded by so many transcendentalists, and they are spoken again and again by so many devotees alike. So again, if we see the character of Draupadi, which is there in Canto 1st, Chapter 7, from verse 42 to 49, where she asks Arjuna to release Ashwatthama. So her saintly nature is also been disclosed. And again, if we see in Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Devahuti character has been described in verse number 1 to 3. Again, her saintly character has been described. So in Bhagavatam, if we see in some places, the womanless is between the saintly character has been described, and some places the ugliness is also been described. So based on the context where it is been spoken, based on the background where it is been spoken, these verses are being told. And therefore, we should take everything in context. And finally, our goal should be to go back to Godhead and not to be deluded by all this temporary designation which we carry. So based on this, we will discuss today's verse, which speaks about illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meat eating. And if we see in today's scenario, most of the governments promote these four things very much, and the revenue which is generated by the government is also very high because of these four things. And gradually the people became degraded, and because it is naturally that the people in general are inclined to these vices, so it is the government responsibility to restrict it. But rather, if we see today's government generally advises to go for all these things. If you see any ads, if we see any billboards, generally it will promote sex and everything, and it will promote in a way which is not needed. Like if somebody is smoking a cigar, actually is dangerous to the health, but then what is shown, that if somebody smokes, he gets a good bungalow, there is a good female who comes, and so many things are shown which is not the truth. So today's culture is being diverted in that way just for few persons' wealth making, and it is not beneficial for our people in large. Also, it's written that if we eat meat and intoxication, it excites the senses more and more. So there are so many arguments in favor for meat eating and intoxication. But if somebody wants to practice spirituality, it is very clear that one should not indulge in that meat eating and intoxication. And especially this Bhagavatam is meant only for persons who want to advance spiritually. So if we just see the start of Bhagavatam, how does it start? So the first canto, first chapter, second verse says, Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra Parama Nirmatsaran Satam. So this is already rejecting religious activities which are materially motivated. And it propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. And it uproots the threefold miseries. And this Bhagavatam is sufficient for God realization. So this Bhagavatam and the verses which are connected with Bhagavatam are for one who wants to attain God realization. If somebody doesn't have the goal of attaining God realization, then this Bhagavatam he may read and he can get other benefits, but he may not take such seriousness of all these verses. And further, it is compiled by Vyasdev. So if we see, the sages like Vyasdev will not compile something which is not worthy. If we see whole Bhagavatam, only very few episodes are being given of a person. If we see Ramayana, which is described in 9th canto, only 2 chapters describe Ramayana and it's finished. If we see Dhruv Maharaj episode, if we see Prahlad Maharaj episode, so Prahlad Maharaj is starting journey is given, and then further I will go, Dhruv Maharaj only starting given, and then there is a fight given for Uttama with the Yakshas and all. So very few histories are being given, and so many only names are given in 9th canto BC, only the names of the king are given, who ruled the country for so many years, thousands and lakhs of years, but only names are being given. So if we see the perspective of Bhagavatam, it is purely for persons who want to go back to Godhead, and for them these instructions are very serious. And therefore, this should be understood. And therefore further, consequently illicit sex must be stopped by those who are spiritually inclined or who are on the path of spiritual realization. So this is very dangerous for persons who are elevating for spiritual life, and therefore whether it is for man or woman, for both it is dangerous, and both should not engage in that. And many devotees fall down due to this. So this is a caution for devotees that if we are being devotees, then we should not indulge in this, because there are so many stories where devotees also fall down. And we see the famous example of Ajamil, who just saw Bhagavatam, that he just saw once such activity and he just fell down from his spiritual goals. But due to the grace of Krishna, he again came back to senses at the fag end of his life. And therefore, we should see this, how it is very much useful for us to control our senses. And further, it is the steal money and fall down from highly renounced order. So we see so many sannyasis also fall down. We see Vishwamitra, Shaubari Muni, who were on the highest pedestal, they also came down. And we see in today's modern time also, so many sannyasis in today's life or lifetime also come down because of this one mistake. And therefore, we should be very cautious of this. And then, further, it is said, a miserly person cannot properly utilize the wealth he has. And similarly, a materialist person misuses the human form. So the basic indicant is that his human form is meant for self-realization and not for anything else. And therefore, this human form has to be used for self-realization. If it is being used for any other purposes, then we will simply waste this human form of life. And therefore, this verse has been described. And therefore, in this proper mood, we should understand these things. And therefore, if we further see, so many ladies have been described in Bhagavatam, and we'll take some of the verses which are there from Bhagavatam. So in Canto 10, chapter 23, if we see, the Brahmana's wives blessed, which we see the chapters. So in that, from verse number 41, so this is described by Brahmanas to Brahman Patnis. So this is another kind of context. Like we saw how Bharat Maharaj was telling to King Raghuna about the ill effects of associating with women. So this is the effect of positively engaging or positively associating with women, which is told in this verses, which we will read. So the Brahmanas are saying, the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord certainly bewilders even the great mystics. What to speak of us? As Brahmanas, we are supposed to be spiritual masters of all classes of men, yet we have been bewildered about our own real interest. So, the Brahmanas' real job is to elevate all the societies of men, but still, if we see here, they say that we are deluded. Then further they say, just see the unlimited love these women have developed for Lord Krishna, the spiritual master of the entire universe. This love has broken for them the very bonds of death, their attachment to family life. So now the Brahmanas are glorifying women because they have developed love for Krishna. So here also, the main aspect is spiritual elevation. So why these women are being glorified here? Because they have come very close to Krishna, which the Brahmanas could not. So the context of whatever is speak here is how close we have come to Krishna. If somebody is not coming close to Krishna, then he may chastise. Like it is said that we should comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. So if somebody is very comforted, then he is to be afflicted. And in the same scene we see why Bharat Maharaj is in the form of Jad Bharat in his third life is speaking so harshly to Raghuna, so that Raghuna may come out of his kingly life and may properly also facilitate the citizens in spiritual life. And in this place, what has happened is the Brahmanas are being in comfort situation, and now they are seeing the examples of their wives, and they are shaking themselves by seeing the examples of the Brahman Patnis. And therefore, further, it's written, superficially, the husband's father's father-in-law and so on were the ladies' gurus or teachers. Yet the woman had become perfect in Krishna consciousness, where the men had fallen into the darkness of ignorance. So here you see what has happened is, the man has come down and the woman has come up because of spiritual elevation. So that is the test we should consider for ourselves, whether we are elevated in spiritual life or not. Further, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti writes, upon returning home, the ladies showed transcendental ecstatic symptoms such as trembling of the body, shedding of tears, standing of the bodily hairs on end, discoloration of the complexion, crying out, O pleasure of my life, O Krishna, with faltering words and so forth. So these are Ashtavikar Bhavas, and rarely even in human formula, very rare to get. So these are been shown by the ladies, the Brahman Patnis, who were not so well educated also according to Brahmanas. So, therefore, we see this other aspect of women also, which is very nice. And further, it said, this woman had never undergone the purificatory rites of the twice born classes, nor have they lived as the brahmacharis in the ashram of the spiritual master, nor have they executed austerities, speculated on the nature of the self, followed the formalities of cleanliness, or engaged in pious rituals. Nevertheless, they have firm devotion for Lord Krishna, whose glories are chanted by the exalted hymns of the Vedas, and who is the supreme master of all masters of mystic power. We, on the other hand, have no such devotion for the Lord, although we have executed all these processes. So, very nice to note here, what does it require for a person to become a devotee? So, a person doesn't require to undergo purificatory rites to become a devotee, to be born in twice classes, born classes like brahmanas, nor to be live as brahmacharis in the ashram. Somebody may live as a brahmachari in the whole ashram, but he may not become a devotee in life, or a spiritual master, or execute austerities. So somebody may not be austere here, but he may still become a devotee. He may become a perfect devotee, may go back to Godhead, speculate on the nature of self. So one may not speculate on the nature of self like the jnanis do, the yogis do. Then followed the formality of cleanliness. So one may not be remain clean. So these things are not that we should not do, but based on the current circumstance in which we are, we may not be able to follow all these things. But still, one has a chance to go back to Godhead or engage in pious rituals. So nowadays, if we see, day by day, the pious rituals have been decreasing, and people, if we say to do something, they will say that it's like we are following the rituals and therefore we should stop. So they are not being followed by these ladies. Nevertheless, they have firm devotion for Lord Krishna. So what is the test for a person is how his devotee is firm devotion is being executed. How firm is his devotion for Krishna? If one has firm devotion for Krishna, in whatever body he may be in, whether male or female, or even eunuch, he may go back to Godhead. And this is the only test which is required for devotees. So we, on the other hand, have no such devotion for Lord, although we have executed all these processes. So one may follow all these processes. One may be austere. One may have read Shastras. One may have done all the previous processes. But still, one may not get love of Godhead. And therefore, we should rather focus on these aspects of our life of going back to Godhead rather than other aspects. Further, the Brahmanas say, indeed, infatuated as we were with our household affairs, we have deviated completely from the real aim of our life. But now, just see how the Lord, through the words of these simple coward boys, has reminded us of the ultimate destination of all true transcendentalists. So, in this case, the Brahmanas, who were the guide, the torchlight of the entire society, are being deluded, and the Brahmana Patnis have shown them the way. And further, it is said that they say that now the wives will be the gurus of them. So, the main is Jai Krishna Tattvaveta Sei Guru Hoy. So, who is Krishna Tattvaveta can become a guru in whatever body one is. And we have seen, personally I have seen some eunuch also who are spreading the word of Krishna Chaitanya, and they have become gurus, and we have seen the some forums also. So that is the real test which should be seen rather than this which is there superficially. Then again in verse number 23, if we see, so the results of one's activity should be utilized not for sense gratification but for the mission of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, if somebody may not be elevated to that stage of devotional service, at least what one can do is whatever one does should be done, utilize the result should be utilized for Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we have so many avenues, if we see in Bhagavad Gita also, chapter 12. There are so many gradations given of how one can become gradually elevate oneself to devotional service. If one cannot perform directly devotional service, one can engage his mind and intelligence. If one cannot do that also, one can give his words. If they cannot, that give wealth. Or one can just do some pious activities and give the results to others. That is, do the work selflessly. In this way, gradually one can get elevated to Krishna consciousness. And that is what is needed. He demands surrender unto him. People do not generally like this demand. But one who cultivates spiritual knowledge for many births eventually surrenders unto the lotus feet of Lord. So Krishna, sometimes if we see, he demands us that we should surrender to him. So this is a very tall demand if we see, and not many people like this demand that we surrender. But if we figure what is actual surrender, what is Krishna telling us that we surrender? So it generally means that I am dancing the spiritual world, you also come and dance with me. I am enjoying the fruits where you don't have to work. You also come be and enjoy in the spiritual world where you will not have to work so hard for this life. Then I am also glowing. There is no birth, old age, disease and death. You also come with me and thus get relieved of this old age, disease, death and all the calamities which you are facing. So surrender doesn't mean that it has a negative connotation. It has so much positive connotation that why are you suffering this material world? Come with me in my spiritual abode and enjoy life. Why you want to suffer unnecessarily without any cause? And one may argue that I have so much to do, I have so much work to do, and there are so much process to follow. Then Krishna is saying, anyways, you will have to surrender to some person in this material world. Nobody in this world can remain independently for a long time of life. He may be for some time, but if one has to earn money, he has to surrender to some person. If one has to do some work, he has to surrender to some person. So in any form of life, whatever one does, one has to be under some other person for a long period of life. And what does he get? Misery. Because the person under whom one is surrendered will exploit him for any other means, because he also earns so on. Like one devotee was telling, that why would an employer hire an employee? If the employee doesn't earn through two or three times of what he's being paid, why would the employer hire him? Because the employer also wants to make money as the employee. So, anyways, if he doesn't take good work from the employee, there is no need of the employment. And therefore, in this material world, if we see anybody who does good for us, has some motives, has something which he has to be accomplished. And if that is not being accomplished, the nature of the material, the relationship will be broken in the long term of life. And therefore Krishna says that come with me. You have no obligation to do. I have so many servants with me who are doing all the work. If you like, you can serve. Or if you don't like, you can voluntarily stay. What is the problem? Just dance with me, eat with me, and do all the activities which I am doing, and live happily and peacefully in this spiritual world. That is the only meaning which is generally called as surrender. But because of negative connotation which we tell, people generally say that surrender is very bad. And therefore, we heard these things that we will not surrender to Krishna. And again, if we see the highest devotees of the Lord, are the gopis who are ladies. And it is said that we all follow the footsteps of the gopis, how they become the devotees of the Lord. And most of the time we also sing the gopi geet. So it said, Jayati Dedikam Janma Vraja Shaita Indriya Sashvatatrahi Deita Dishatam Dikshu Tavatas Tvayi Dishatas Swam Vichinvate. So he said that while Gopi is saying, O beloved, your birth in the land of Raja has made it exceedingly glorious, and thus the Indira, the goddess of fortune, always reside here. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you, so please show yourself to us. So as long as that the women are condemned, the women are also glorifying the Bhagavatam, and the prayers of gopis are being glorified and being sung by so many people. These are the highest prayers. And what are the gopis saying? That your birth in land of Braja is making exceeding glorious. So why this Braja is being glorious is because of your birth in the land of Braja. And because you are there, the goddess of fortune is always there, and for your sake we are maintaining our lives. So this way, so many verses are being spoken by the gopis, who are the, if we see, they are not so educated, and still they are the one who are the most devoted to Krishna. And further, it says that, O Lord of love, beauty, in beauty your glance excels the whole of the finest, more perfectly formed lotus with autumn pond. O bestower of benedictions, you are killing the maid servants who have given themselves to you freely without any price. Isn't this murder? So if we see the surrender of the gopis, they have given themselves freely without any price. And if we see there are the present conditions, so they have given their heart to Krishna, but Krishna is gone to Mathura. And at the same time, the Vrajavasis cannot understand their feelings. So they are in the midst of a calamity where nobody can understand them, and they are feeling separation from Krishna. And in this way, they are passing their days. So this is the life which they are living. And how they are living so painfully, yeah, hearing the Krishna Katha. So he's saying, Tava Katha Amritam Tapta Jeevanam Kaviviriritam Kalma Shapanam Shavana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhruvigranantiye Bhuridajana. The nectar of your words and the description of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. So the words and description of activities of Krishna are the life and soul of this suffering in the material world. That is, we all who are suffering in the material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. So, wherever we are, whatever we are doing, in whatever condition we are, whatever body we are, whatever limitations we have, in whatever conditions we are, whatever strengths we have, whatever weakness we have, whatever is in our possession, whatever is not in our possession, and whatever is our mental thoughts, actions and words, and however we may be living, the main goal is that to describe the narrations of Supreme Personality of Godhead and to hear about the activities of Supreme Personality of Godhead, because we are suffering this material world, and by that we should get out of this material world. And these words have been described in Bhagavatam to read and then to broadcast this message all over the world. And therefore, if we just do this, then we'll become the most munificent. And in this way, we can make our life successful. And the human form of life, which we have got very rarely, because so many people argue that there are so many humans and the population is overloaded. But actually, if we see, the human form of life is very rare. And in present times, we see it's becoming rarer and rarer, the human form of life, because so many people kill the child in the womb only. So many do not see the light of the day. And so many people are killed in wars, famines, and so many other things which are not natural deaths. So if we see overall, the scenario is not so good. So whatever time we have got, whatever the opportunity we have got, let us use for spreading the holy name of the Lord. So I will just summarize what we spoke today. So this verse was about how the four vices are bad, and especially if we have wrong relationship with women, how it is dangerous. And therefore we spoke how, what is the context of this verse? That is, verse has been spoken by Jad Bharat Maharaj to King Raghuna. And Raghuna is one person who is in so much power, having so many wives and opulence. So to shaking up such harsh word we spoken, it may or may not apply to us. So we should discreetly see how it applies and how where it applies. And then we spoke that how we are spiritual souls. Then anyways, we are spiritual souls. That means we are not his body. And therefore, our we doesn't apply to us what designation we are taking. Our only designation is that we are servants to Krishna. And then we spoke about how we are in influence of material modes of nature. So our goal should be get out of this person. And like then we spoke that these are the examples which are spoken in Bhagavatam. Also we see further that how Purvashi speaks about the deadly nature of women. And also other so many women speak about this in Bhagavatam. And then again we see the bright side of women, how Uttara, Kunti Maharani, Draupadi, and about Devuti has been spoken. And then the Brahman Patnis and Gopis are also the how they have been favorably inclined and how what is spoken about them. So in this way, we can balance our life and grow gradually to spiritual life and go back to Godhead. And Bhagavatam also has so many good examples of kings like Yudhishthira Maharaj and Prithu Maharaj and all. But same time, there is also a dark side or grey side of kings also. Like there is Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupal, Shalva, Dantavaktra, Pandraka, Rukmi, Vena, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan. Like this, there are so many kings who have been described in Bhagavatam who are in bad light, shed in bad light. So like a woman has a good nature and bad nature, also the men have also good nature and bad nature. And therefore, because of the Swabhava and the war between Swabhava and Shraddha, the spiritual life goes, and we should take care of our spiritual life and grow gradually. Hare Krishna. So if somebody has any comments, corrections, questions, clarification, we have 3 to 4 minutes we can take. Otherwise, we'll close for today's class.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice class, nice points. So can you please elaborate the point, afflict the comforted and comfort to the afflicted?
Oh, this we generally do because Raghuna is now in stage where he is very comforted. He is a king, he is in the palace queen, and therefore there is some affliction caused to him so that he can come out of his comfort zone. But generally if we see, this theory that we are not his body, we are this soul. We speak this theory in the class, but when somebody dies, like a mother loses his son, or like Arjuna loses Abhimanyu, so Krishna doesn't speak the philosophy at that point of time, because he's afflicted at that point of time. So Krishna is just comforting, and we also tell you can just cry, it happens, just relax. So whenever one is in afflicted stage of life, we give him comfort. But when somebody is comforted, then we afflict them that, oh, this human form of life is for going back to God. Why are you wishing for sense gratification? Why are you doing this, this, and this? So in this way, we preach, and that is effective. So if somebody is dead and we go to a funeral and we speak all this philosophy, most of people will run away and they will never be shown again. So therefore, generally, we do these things. I hope you got the point? Narisha. Any more clarifications, questions? So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gantra Jai, and Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Hare Krishna.